Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one podcast all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I'm joined, as always, by my good friend Kelly. Kelly, happy May and happy Golden Week.
Happy Golden Week. You know, prior to just starting the show, I had an event happen to me, and I was like, all right, this is some good early show banter material. So, like, I went to the bathroom, because, you know, you got to. Before you do a show. Originally I wasn't going to, and I was like, you know, I should do that just in case. And while I was peeing, I was like, see, Kelly, this could all have been in your pants instead of in the toilet. And then I look to my right and see a big old bug. And I'm like, oh shit, what's that? And I think it was a stink bug. So then I'm like, well shit, what do I do with this? And I don't want to crush it because then it'll smell bad. So I grabbed it with some toilet paper and threw it in the toilet and then quickly flushed. And then, I'm pretty sure it was a stink bug, but with the mixture of toilet water and pee, it made the whole bathroom smell like fresh-cut grass. It's very, very interesting experience.
Wow, that is a Kelly story if I've ever heard one. I legitimately thought partway through that story was just going to be about you going to the bathroom before the show.
I mean, it was going to, honestly, that's how it started. As I was peeing, I was like, oh man, we can talk about this to start the show, where it's like, look, you know, sometimes you just gotta try. It's like when you're a little kid and your parents are like, hey, you gotta at least try, you know. And it's like, well, look, if I hadn't tried, all this could have been in my pants
and you wouldn't have seen a bug. So
I wouldn't have seen a bug, and it wouldn't have made my bathroom smell like fresh cut grass.
Seeing bugs is very, I'm not particularly afraid of bugs, but it's always sort of shocking. I occasionally see bugs in my apartment.
It's startling.
It's startling, yeah.
Suddenly there's this living thing by you, and it's like, are you a danger to me?
And also, I live by myself, so any movement that doesn't come from me in my apartment is very surprising to me.
Yeah, no, it's like, this shouldn't be here. I'm like, you have invaded my space.
I often go to sleep. I have this like once every few months where I go to sleep, I wake up, and I think there's someone in my house.
Oh, God.
I have no proof for this, and obviously there isn't anyone in my house, or I don't think there's anyone in my house. But it's just a weird feeling when you wake up and you're like, I know it. Because the only option is either you go to sleep and you're like, well, if there's someone in the house, then whatever, I'll just go to sleep and they might kill me.
Yeah, they'll murder me in my sleep rather than them doing it directly to me while I'm trying to adventure through the house.
Yeah, or you wake up and you move around, and if there's someone in the house, you're essentially walking directly to them to be killed.
Yeah.
But anyway, what an intro for this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio. We got a lot to talk about, but first the plugs. You can follow us on Twitter at JBombAudio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly, and you can follow me at TayMainbow. Please subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that podcast app of choice happens to be Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating and review. We'd really appreciate it. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. And one additional plug this week. On Tuesday, I will be appearing alongside host Andrew Rich on the new episode of Music of the Mat, covering 10 great stardom themes from the heavy hitters of stardom. We're talking Shuri, we're talking Utami, Momo Watanabe, Starlight Kid, Azumi, and many more. Had a great time on the podcast. So when that comes out on Tuesday, give it a listen. It's a great show. It's been one of my favorites, really, since it began for many years. So check that episode out when it drops. But back to our show. We got a lot to talk about. We got the Stardom Cinderella Tournament Finals. We have some Seedling to talk about, Diana to talk about, some Tokyo Joshi. And then, of course, we have a ton of shows to preview, with Golden Week coming up. So we are going to dive right in to talking about Stardom Cinderella Tournament 2022 Finals from Oda City General Gymnasium on April 29th in front of 2017 fans. Kelly, what do you think of the show overall?
Overall, I enjoyed it. The only thing I wasn't super hot on was the gauntlet match, but that's, you know, here or there. Like, the rest of the card I really enjoyed. One thing that stood out to me, I don't know if you noticed this, did the crowd just seem super dead throughout the entire show to you?
I've just sort of started ignoring the crowds.
Yeah.
Like, to my own detriment, because at the Korakuen with the Cinderella matches on it, they started cheering, and it was so funny because I saw people start like tweeting, commenting, being like, oh my God, cheering's coming back. And I was like, oh, I've just tuned myself into ignoring completely what the crowd is doing, that it has no effect on me. And even like that sort of positive, you know, it wasn't a ton of cheering, but it was some. Like, I just sort of tuned it out because I'm like, the crowd is not going to help my enjoyment of this match. So I'm just going to ignore them.
Yeah, typically I'll do the same, but like sometimes I'll more just notice the absence than anything. Like, clapping is whatever, but it was just like nothing. It was weird. Like, they were oddly quiet, and I don't think it was the show's doing at all. Like, I thought the show was pretty good, but just, I don't know. It seemed like, and it's not like they didn't draw. They drew a pretty good number. It's just, I don't know. The people didn't feel like clapping. Everyone hurt their hands the previous day or something.
Yeah, and I don't know exactly what's happening in Japan. I know that, like, sports are, I think, starting to allow cheering. So it could just be a thing where people are tired of going to these shows and just clapping, and they're like, I'm just going to just go and sit and watch the show.
Yeah, makes sense.
I thought it was a solid show. Not, you know, probably not my favorite show, but I thought it was very good from top to bottom, highlighted by one match, which I thought was phenomenal, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But let's get right into it. First, with the dark match, three-way match, with Amy Sorei of God's Eye defeating Mei Sakurai and Waka Tsukiyama in 4 minutes and 19 seconds after Amy Sorei hit the brainbuster on Waka Tsukiyama. Kelly, what did you think of this match?
Poor Waka takes the fall again. The absolute bottom of the stardom ladder. I thought it was fine. It was a decent three-way. at one point I was thinking about this. Remember how when we were talking about the potential Donna Del Mundo split? And I was like, well, the clear evidence that this is happening is my Sakurai's around. And they didn't have her change her name. So it's clear that she's leaving. But she's still in Donna Del Mundo, and it bothers me to no end that she's just completely screwing up their naming conventions of the single name. Like, what are you doing? Change your name. Just be Mai or Sakurai or do something different. It bothers me, but whatever. The match was fine. I went 2.5 stars.
Yeah, she feels very disconnected from the rest of that group, especially now that there's all this stuff happening. It's sort of like, whoa, all this drama is happening with these people who have tagged for so long. Oh, except for Mai Sakurai, who just sort of showed up here.
Yeah, she's there.
Yeah, but I thought it was a fine, basic match. I thought Amy Soray looked much better than Sakurai or Sukiyama
for sure
did in the brief amount of time. I mean, the brainbuster at the end I thought looked really great. I don't know how much it really looked. It sort of didn't look like a brainbuster to me. But, you know, it's a dark match. It's 4 minutes long. Perfectly acceptable start to the show.
Yeah.
The following match was our first title match of the evening for the Future of Stardom title. The champion, Hanan, defeating Hina in 6 minutes and 26 seconds with the backdrop hold. With this defense, Hanan's fifth defense, she ties Starlight Kid, who had 5 defenses. And when I looked it up on Cage Match, it said that Utami had also 5 defenses. But there, I also read something where people were saying that she had 6 defenses, which I don't remember quite. But anyway, Hanan very much up there. Starlight Kid lost the title on her 6th defense, and Utami vacated the belt. So if she gets 6... if she gets another successful defense, she'd be either at the top or pretty close to the top for the record for a number of defenses with this title, which is pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, she deserves it. I've really enjoyed this title run.
Yeah, I thought this match was really solid. I thought it was a great official start to the show. Still pretty short, 6 minutes and 26 seconds. At one point, I thought Hina was going to hit a Made in Japan because she did the sort of beginning part of it where you, I don't even know how you would describe it, but you sort of lift them up and then she just sort of did a suplex. But I was like, oh, a Made in Japan. And then it wasn't a Made in Japan. But I thought this was really good, well worked. It had some good near falls, especially because, as we talked about, Hanan has now had this title for a while. So it's very believable that she would drop it to someone. I thought they had some good reversals. Hanan going for the backdrop driver at one point, and Hina turned it into a trip and then a pin, which I thought was really cool. So I thought this was a really solid match. I went 3.5 stars. I thought it was really good.
Oh, wow. I thought one thing that Hanan does really well is her 2.99 kickouts. Like, and she's a lot better at that than most people with her experience level. So that definitely adds to the drama of the matches. Because like you said, there is times where it's like, oh, she's probably going to drop it. But the hand shoots up at the last second. So she's pretty advanced for her experience level with that. I went just 3 stars. I really liked it. But yeah, no, I'm really excited to see where she keeps going with this reign or how long she'll hold on to it.
Yeah, she has a number of people who she can still defend it against. There's Miyu. There was talk about maybe a defense against Tomoka Inaba, which would be a lot of fun. So it will be interesting to see where it goes next and see if Hanan can get that clear and away record. I'm looking through the history. It seems like 3 is usually about the number of defenses people get. That's sort of the average. So already well above the average, which I think portends well for Hanan's future.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, no, she's got a pretty bright future with the company for sure.
The next match was our first Cinderella Tournament semi-final match, which saw Koguma defeat her tag team partner, Hazuki, in 6 minutes and 17 seconds with the jackknife bomb. Kelly, us in the mud immediately.
I know, right away.
The two people who said, well, it's definitely Hazuki, we both agree, and that's going to be right, are immediately proved wrong when Hazuki goes down. I thought this was another really fun match. It's sort of my style of match, the high speed, quicker style. I really liked near the end, there was the code breaker.
Yes.
That got turned into the pin, which I had never seen before, and I thought was really cool. And I just said, super fun match. I went 3.5 stars again. I'm a 3.5 star guy on this show.
Yeah, I'm 3.25 on this one. And yeah, that codebreaker counter was awesome. Like, that was the one thing that I'm taking away from this match for sure. Like, that was super cool. And it's like, Koguma's really kind of inventive in that way. Like, she does interesting things where it's like, oh, I've never thought you could do that before.
Yeah, certainly does a lot of fun things. I mean, I know sort of both of us, when Koguma returned to the company, we both sort of were like, oh, this is fine.
Yeah.
But she has really become one of my favorite wrestlers over the past few months to watch. I think she's really fun to watch. She's creative. She sort of wrestles a style that I really like. And both her and Hazuki have been really solid additions to sort of the mid-card of Stardom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Koguma, she just wrestles differently than almost everyone else in the company. So it's a welcome bit of variety.
The next match was the second Cinderella Tournament semifinal, which saw Mirai defeat Natsupoi in 8 minutes and 17 seconds using the Miramare submission hold. Kelly, what did you think of this match?
That submission just looks crazy. Like, I love it. It looks like you could just easily pop someone's shoulders out. Just no problem. I thought, even though she lost, Natsupoi came out of this match looking great. Like, she had a really, really good showing here. And just really good high action match. I enjoyed this a lot. I went 3.75.
I thought this match was fine. I've totally forgot for some reason. I guess it's because it was on a different show and my brain sort of reset that the over the top rope rules were still in effect.
I completely forgot about that until like halfway through the Koguma Hazuki match when they started, like, when someone went over the top rope for a second. I was like, oh yeah, that's an option.
Like, I don't know if it's just because it was on it, it's on a different show and it's like, oh, these are the finals, that I was like, oh, that doesn't exist anymore. But they started teasing it and I was like, oh yeah, I guess that is a way. I was lower than you. I thought it was a perfectly fine match. Like, I probably would have been 3.25. I also wrote in my notes, justice for Natsupoi, who I thought was really good. So we agree on that. We will, later in the show, we can talk more sort of about Mirai because there will be more to say. But to me, she sort of feels a bit like Utami in that she's a good wrestler. And I feel like I don't know anything about who she is.
Yeah,
she's just sort of like a friendly person who wrestles.
Yeah, strong lady, no personality, really.
But anyway, we will talk about that more in a few minutes later on this show. The next match was another Stardom Gauntlet match, which saw the Cosmic Angels team emerge victorious. That Cosmic Angels team, Mina Shirakawa, Tam Nakano, and Unagi Sayaka. It went this way. The match started with Stars and Queen's Quest. Stars emerged victorious when Mayu Iwatani pinned Lady C. Then Oedo Tai Team A came out, which was Momo Watanabe, Ruaka, and Starlight Kid. Oedo Tai beat Stars when Momo Watanabe pinned Saya Iida. Then Oedo Tai Team B came out, which was Fukigen Death Rina and Saki Kashima, and Oedo Tai Team A beat Oedo Tai Team B when Starlight Kid pinned Rina. Then Donna Del Mundo came out, that Donna Del Mundo team, Julia, Micah, and Tekla. They beat Oedo Tai when Micah pinned Ruaka. And finally, the Cosmic Angels were the last team in the match, beating Donna Del Mundo when Tom eliminated Julia over the top rope. Kelly, what'd you think of this match?
I thought it was fine. Like, it was 100% just get everyone on the card match, and I kind of appreciate them doing it all at once rather than here's just a bunch of random tags. So that was cool. It moved pretty quickly for the most part, but I don't know. Outside of the final Cosmic Angels versus Down Del Mundo segment, I didn't really care much for it. So overall, I'd probably give the match like 3.25. Like, it was fine, but it was very clearly just get everyone out instead of, like, I don't know, it could have just been a battle royal or something.
I sort of went in being like, oh, another gauntlet match. We just had a gauntlet match. I don't particularly like gauntlet matches. I think they're just sort of weird and useless. But I found myself actually sort of really liking this one. I don't know if it's because I went in sort of thinking, I won't like this. And then I did. I liked the first, the only Oedo Tai Stars portion of it. It helped that, you know, you had Momo and Starlight Kid and Mayu and Saeed. Like, you had a lot of very talented people, and it was very clear. Like, a lot of these other teams were like two good people, and then like Momo Watanabe, Ruaka, and Starlight Kid.
Yeah.
Then the Oedo Tai Goof Troop came out, as I put them in my notes. There was a lot of very young, near children smoking in the ring.
Yeah, that was weird.
I was like, oh, okay. I really did like one moment during... I mean, I liked the whole thing of Donna Del Mundo against Cosmic Angels, but I liked one moment where Tom was running the ropes. I don't remember who was in the ring with her, but Julie was on the floor outside the ring and went to, like, swipe her feet, like you sometimes do, where it's like, I distracted you because I touched your feet. And she missed, I think purposefully. Like, I think she was not supposed to hit her. But I do like that idea of, not just with this, but sometimes people doing things that don't work out, because then it makes it, when you do get it, you're like, oh, you're not just doing it because it's part of this match. You do it all the time. And this time it succeeded. Like, people... this happened in the Diana tag match, which we'll talk about in a little while. Someone is on the top rope, and, you know, sometimes someone comes over and holds their leg, and they're like, now you can't jump off the top rope, and now my partner can come over and get you. Where it happened in that match, where someone went to grab someone's leg on the top rope, and they jumped off the top rope before they could grab them. And I was like, I like those interesting sort of moments when you try something and it doesn't work out, because it makes the moments when you do try it and it does work out feel like they're not just planned out moments. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it totally does. It makes it feel more real. Like, honestly, one thing that would be good in American wrestling is if someone comes out to the ring during a match and the other wrestlers in the ring pay them no mind instead of like, what's this music? Who is this?
Yeah, well, that's a hope that I've always had that seemingly will never, will never come to fruition. But yeah, that's totally one of them too. Just like moments where you're like, "Hey, I'm trying to do something, and this time it didn't work. Maybe next time it'll work."
Mm-hmm.
I just like those things. But I enjoyed this. I probably would have gone. What would I have gone? 3.5 stars. You know, I would prefer that these now stop happening because there's only so much that I'm like, ooh, another gauntlet match. Like, they're all sort of the same. They don't, you know, this one went 25 minutes, but, you know, there were 5 matches. So it's, and with entrances and everything, it's like, okay, so you're watching a bunch of like 4 minute matches, which isn't super exciting.
Yeah, it was better than the tag gauntlet that Impact ran on their pay-per-view. So I was like, okay, well, it's better than that, I guess.
Seems like a low bar, but...
Yeah. You know what? Maybe Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows should have been in this one.
It certainly would have been interesting.
Yeah.
The next match was our second title match. It was the high-speed title match, the champion Azumi retaining her title over Mei Suruga in 13 minutes and 6 seconds with the Azumi Sushi. Kelly, I will throw it to you first. I got a lot to say about this, as I'm sure you do as well.
Hell yeah, this is the good shit. Like, this was so good. It was two of the absolute best in this kind of high-speed style of wrestling. Going out and just doing a bunch of cool shit. And it's like, that. This is exactly what I wanted. The whole match was just very fun. Like, you could tell they were enjoying themselves doing this. And it made you, like, this is like, oh, this is great. This is exactly kind of the match that they pictured in their mind. And they're just going out and executing this vision. And it was great. I loved it. I don't know how you can watch this match and not come away thinking that Mei is anything other than a star. She came off so well here. Like, it really felt like Azumi was like, all right, you know, we're gonna get you over with this. Like, I'm sure there's a ton of people seeing her for the first time outside of the Rumble, the last big show. And they did a great job. Mei looked fantastic here. I was super happy with this match. I went 4.5 stars. Definitely my match of the night.
Well, I was right there with you. I went 4.5 stars. It was also my match of the night. I do want to say before, you know, my mind says just ignore it. If you've been on Twitter recently in the last few days, you've seen that a clip of about 15 seconds of this match has gone viral through Disco Inferno, of all people.
Oh, yeah. Fuck Glenn Gilberti. Glenn, you listen to this? Pick the place. Pick the place. We'll fight it out.
But here's
in the Walgreens parking lot. I'll bash your head in with an Arizona iced tea. Let's fucking go, Glenn.
Wow, that's not my reaction, but I have to say this. This was all coming after Dave Meltzer said that Stardom is the best women's wrestling in the world. You had to know it was coming because, look, some people like Dave Meltzer, some people don't like Dave Meltzer. If you don't like Dave Meltzer, fine. But there are people who are clearly bad faith. You know, if you're just like, hey, I prefer not to listen, you know, I don't really enjoy listening to Dave Meltzer. It's not for me. That's different. There are people out there who are clearly bad faith actors who are sitting around to pounce on any single thing that Dave says. First of all, Dave is correct.
Yeah.
If the comparison is between the Stardom roster and Raw and SmackDown, Stardom is so beyond really what 98% of the WWE roster is capable of. I mean, Bianca Belair and, you know, Sasha and Bayley, and then maybe Becky and Charlotte. The rest of that roster is garbage.
Yeah.
And
Asuka kind of at this point.
Oh, and like Asuka,
she
yeah.
just showed back up again after being gone for so long. So it's like, I don't even know if you count her right now.
But now I lost my train.
Oh, no.
I lost my train of thought. Anyway, you knew it was going to happen. This clip came out, this 15 seconds of this match. It was the perfect thing for people to glom onto and be like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. It's the segment where, if you haven't been on Twitter, bless you, your life is better than mine. It's the 15 seconds where they use the ref and they sort of do a back and forth. It literally is 15 or 16 seconds long, the entire clip.
Yeah.
People know who have listened to this podcast, I don't particularly love moments when the ref gets involved in that manner, in the manner of, you know, I don't like the evil, when they hold the leg or whatever that evil, that thing that evil does is. But this is 15 seconds of a match that went over 13 minutes. It's, you know, it's better to me just to, like, freaking ignore these people.
Yeah. And even in this case, I thought the ref spot was actually kind of fun.
Yeah. And it was very, you know, it's one of those things where it's quick enough where you could convincingly be like, oh, okay, they just grabbed the ref and the ref was like, ah, you know.
Yeah. And it was like all choreographed really well. Like he didn't like miss a beat with it either. Like I was kind of impressed with it.
But anyway, my main point is Stardom is much better than WWE.
Yeah.
That's the end point, no matter what Disco Inferno says about, you know, oh God, the business is being ruined. He can fucking take a hike.
Yeah, you disco ass bitch.
Anyway, back to the match. I thought it was great. I loved the rolling pin reversal on the outside when they started flying towards the cameraman who had to dive out of the way.
Yes, that was awesome.
That was good. The stuff on the outside was good. I liked May taking the headphone, the microphone, whatever you call it, headset from Momo Kogo and like introducing herself.
Yeah.
And the corner dive that Izumi did where she jumped up and nearly fell and was like, woo, and then like bounced and then jumped, I thought was very cool.
That was honestly more impressive than if she had just nailed it.
Yeah.
Because it was like she recovered so well and managed to still do it. Like that was really, it showed a ton of just body control.
And then near the end, I almost didn't write any notes because I was so into the match. I was like watching the match. There were so many reversals, pins, things like that, that I just wrote that ruled and then wrote 4.5 stars.
Pretty much.
A great match. I mean, Izumi, I don't know what her workload is going to look like this year. Obviously, she's still high-speed champion, but I mean, a incredible match with Starlight Kid earlier in the year. Now this match, a sort of low level, you know, people like, naturally, people like Shuri, people like Sai Kamatani, Mirai, are going to get sort of the focus of this company. Naturally, they're the champions. They're the high up people, you know, Utami, Mayu, people like that. I think Izumi in 2022 has been the best wrestler in this company.
Yeah, it's very much like the WCW Cruiserweight division kind of thing, where it's like, looking back on these shows, the moments and stuff you remember are the awesome Cruiserweight matches rather than fucking whatever Hulk Hogan was doing, you know? Like, this really feels reminiscent of that.
And the last thing I'll say is I did get a question from a friend after I think they had watched the match and they were like, is this Mei Suruga's best match? I have to say, no. If you watch this match and you had never seen Mei Suruga and you were impressed and you want to see more, there's many, many incredible matches of hers in Choco Pro. I know some people are going to hear that and say, well, I'm not going to do that. But she's got some incredible matches there. I think to me, Kelly, I don't know if you agree, this was sort of between her quote-unquote bigger work in Stardom, you know, not that many matches in Stardom, Stardom and Tokyo Joshi. This was the best one of those to me.
I don't remember her being in Tokyo Joshi. That's...
okay.
That's interesting. but yeah, no, she's like, this is a very, very, very good match of hers. I do think she has better output. The match she had against Emi Sakura was very good last year before Sakura left to the US. In 2020, she had the awesome match against Mitsuru Kono with the crazy slap that like echoed throughout the Ichigaya. A ton of her tag stuff with Aki is awesome. One in particular, I don't know why this one stands out so much, but it is the tag title defense against Psycho and Chango. Like, I love that match. But yeah, she's got a ton of great matches in the Chaco Pro back catalog.
And it's so funny because I also was thinking, sort of on an unrelated, related but unrelated note, you know, Riho recently announced that she was going back to, she'll be back in AEW. She had some sort of injury, which is now healed. And she will be back. And, you know, Mei Suruga was sort of the heir, when Riho left, it was sort of like Mei Suruga was the heir apparent when Kelly, we were in Japan in 2019. Yeah. They had the big Mei Suruga Riho match, which I thought at the time Mei Suruga was going to win and sort of become like, it was going to be like, ah, the baton is passed. That didn't happen. But to me, you know, to compare, I never thought it would be possible that I would think, oh, you know, Riho has been surpassed. But I think Mei Suruga is putting together a very strong catalog of matches. Some of that is that her matches are more readily available than Riho's were, you know, back when Riho was wrestling in Japan with Gato Move and things like that. You know, Mei Suruga has gotten these opportunities on bigger stages like Stardom, but Mei Suruga, from someone who a few years ago I thought, oh, she'll be a nice, you know, little replacement for Riho. She may never be as good. I mean, she has really, she gets better seemingly every time she's in the ring.
Yeah. Like, I, Mei is one of my favorite wrestlers right now. Like, for sure. Easy top five. One of my favorites. Like, just, I always go out of my way to watch her matches. And just, she's grown so much as a wrestler. She's got the personality stuff down. Like, she has a character, you know? Like, and it shifts depending on, like, her, the show. Because sometimes in Chaco Pro, she's like, you know what? I don't like this person, I'm a heel. Like, just sometimes she's like, hey, it's Chris Brooks, I'm going to use the English I know to call him bad white names. Like, it's great. Like, I still can't believe that AEW had her for like a month, 6 weeks, and they did virtually nothing with her.
Yeah, I don't, I mean, I agree. I don't know if that had some, I think I heard at some point it had something to do with the visa that she had.
Okay.
Where she had a visa to get in the country, but not to technically work in the country. That may have had something to do with it, but I agree. I mean, I would have said at the time, if she's coming, we should get her a work visa.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that was impossible at the time, but I do agree. But either way, happy to see her get a platform. You know, and as we said, as much as the sort of Disco Inferno stuff is annoying, you know, I sort of looked at the quote tweets of the original GIF or the original clip of the match. A lot of people were like, hey, this is really cool. This is really great. So as much as it's like, oh, it's annoying, like here comes this guy who fucking doesn't know anything to ruin everyone's fun, some people are going to see that and go, hey, this is cool, and check out the shows or check out the matches or find Mei Suruga matches, which ends up being a net positive. In the immediate, it's annoying. But, yeah, you know, I think a lot of people are going to see this match and go, wow, this is really cool, especially after they dig into more of the match. You know, there's the other clip that's floating out there of Mei doing the running jump off of the ring post. Yeah,
and that is just, that's something she regularly does in Chaco Pro just because of that's the environment she's used to, and it's, so it's interesting to see her bring that style to your typical just wrestling ring.
Yeah. But overall, an amazing match. I would say of all the matches on the show, if you were only going to watch one, this would be the match to watch.
Yeah, definitely. And selfishly, I hope Mei doesn't get locked up by Stardom, you know? Like, I like seeing her work in other places, especially at Chaco Pro, so I'd be kind of sad if that would just not be able to happen anymore. But, you know, I really, really am happy that she's getting these opportunities.
Well, I should say, and one thing that we did miss, I now realize now that you brought that up, is that after the gauntlet match, the color squad came out. I meant to say that and then forgot about it. So we'll go backwards. The color squad came out and sort of challenged Cosmic Angels. Tom, a former Actress Girls member there. So there is some history there. Saki leading the color squad there. But that sort of, and I did actually briefly talk about this on the episode of Music of the Mat that will be coming out this week. I do think at the moment when Stardom, when Bushiroad bought Stardom, I was very fearful that they were going to destroy at least a couple of promotions in just being like, hey, we want, you know, 15 of the best wrestlers. We'll take two from here, two from here, and two from here, and then everyone else is dead. I think, you know, with the colors thing, we've had the prominence deal going on. We have Mace Ruga coming in. I think that Stardom overall has been a net positive for the entire Joshi scene. Now, of course, the COVID stuff has been a net negative and maybe a stronger net negative than the net positive of Stardom. But I'm not really all that worried.
No.
About May leaving. You know, they introduced her when she walked out. They were like, she's in Gato Mu. She's in Choco Pro. Like, they are not, it doesn't, I could totally be proven wrong in 6 months when they sign all these people. I don't know. But it doesn't, to me, feel like a thing where they're like, hey, these people are coming in and we're going to steal them. It just feels like they're like, hey, these people are talented. We'll bring them in for a show. I mean, they have so many shows, so many matches to fill. You know, I think it's a lot smarter to bring in Mei Suruga than to run back, you know, Azumi versus Koguma, Azumi versus Fukigen Death.
Yeah.
For, you know, time number 10,000 or whatever it is. And then, you know, you help them a little and then maybe you bring it back, or maybe there's a point in the future where maybe you bring these people in full time. But it doesn't feel, it hasn't felt to me, and there was sort of the moment when Julia came in, you know, years ago, that sort of moment of Julia coming in felt in a way malicious. That yeah. made me very nervous about like, oh, this is going to be Stardom's thing. Is they're just going to go and be like, great, we have you now. Screw whoever you're coming from. None of this to me, the Marvelous stuff, a lot of the Marvelous stuff they've done, prominence now with colors, you know, May and Yuna and Emmy from Gato Move. None of this has felt malicious. It's felt like, hey, we have this big scene and let's use it and let's all work together. And Stardom is also doing, you know, the anniversary, the Corican Hall anniversary show. They've been very willing to seemingly sort of help out the scene as a whole, which I think has been a big positive.
Yeah, definitely. And I think last episode we were talking about the prominence thing and trying to figure out if that was done or not. And I think it's done because they did pop up in DDT, I guess, today.
Yeah, although Suzu has a match coming up, but I don't know how much of that is just like, oh, here's someone we can use rather
exactly.
than being like, oh, it's still the story. But it could just be that, you know, that story sort of ended and now colors will be the story.
Yeah, I'm wondering, do you think that Stardom would be willing to lend out Julia for the like first actual big prominence show? To like do a...
Well, I think the show that they had, which we'll talk about in a bit, I think counts as their first big show.
Does it? Okay, I thought it was still like a test
run. And it feels like to me, if Stardom wanted to do that, if they wanted to do like Julia versus Suzu, they would be like, do it in a Stardom ring.
Yeah, it all depends on how hardcore they want to go with it, though, because I could see there being a point where Stardom's like, no, you do that over there, please.
Yeah, that is possible, but I also don't really have a great hold on what exactly, like how hard prominence is going to go into being like, these are big shows, because they seem very sort of happy to be like, we're here, we're showing up here.
Yeah.
you know, we're now in DDT, we were in Stardom, you know, where it becomes sort of a Stronghearts thing where it's less about doing your own shows and more about what promotions you can work with.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. But, you know, looking in the future, it's much better to sort of look and be like, oh, there's lots of exciting things that can happen rather than being like, oh, God, or my, you know, favorite company is going to get totally killed.
Yeah.
The semifinals of the show was the Cinderella Tournament Finals, where Mirai defeated Koguma in 11 minutes and 45 seconds with the Mirai Shock. Kelly, what did you think of the match? What do you think about Mirai emerging victorious from the Cinderella Tournament?
I gotta be honest, this match really didn't grab me, like, at all. I don't know. I just thought it wasn't bad, but just nothing about it really connected with me. I thought it was a very lackluster final. And I don't know, kind of a lackluster winner, I guess. Like, I don't see Mirai at this level, I guess. But yeah, it didn't work much for me. I went with the gentleman's three. What about you?
Yeah, I thought it had the very difficult task of following a great match that I loved.
Yeah.
So I think even if it would have been, like, pretty good, I still might have been like, oh, it was fine. I probably would have been around three like you were. I thought it was perfectly serviceable. It wasn't really all that long. Like, most of the matches on the show were pretty short.
Yeah, that was actually really nice. I enjoyed that.
You know, Mirai, there's been a lot of debate all around about her as a winner. I think my biggest issue stems from the fact that it doesn't feel to me like this is a winner, where a lot of the winners in the past, it felt like they're hitting their head against the sort of ceiling. And the Cinderella Tournament is a thing that sort of opens it up, and you're like, oh, now they're a big time player.
Yeah.
In Stardom, it to me doesn't feel that way with Mirai, mainly because she just had a title match and lost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, less, what was that, December?
Yeah, it was fairly January, recent, something like that.
And it just feels to me weirdly like, oh, you lost, you haven't really done a ton. You know, she had the two showcase matches. And it's like, oh, okay, now you're back again. You know, who she challenges, I guess she could challenge Saya, I guess.
Yeah.
That would be sort of a more believable, like, oh, I guess she could win that match and become white belt champion. I guess it just doesn't feel like the usual feeling of, like, this is a person who's really good, and now they're going to get the rocket strapped to them, and here they go. Like, woo, they're going, and they're going to be a huge star in the company. You know, Julia was that way. And I, you know, we're about to talk about her in a second. If I am Micah and Himika, I am looking at Mirai and going, uh-oh. The three of us all sort of fill the same role. We're, you know, no longer in the same group because Mirai is now in God's eye. So maybe that's helpful. But to me, Micah, Himika, and Mirai are all sort of very close copies of sort of the same person.
It's the three Spider-Mans pointing at each other.
It's like tough, you know, like tough wrestler who's sort of in the mid, maybe upper mid card, who just doesn't feel like. There was also a lot of talk about people saying, well, you know, they're doing this slow burn with Micah and Himika, you know, because one big complaint people had is they're like, Mirai just showed up in this company like 4 months ago, and now she's winning the Cinderella Tournament. She's had a title, you know, that I don't really mind all that much. Like, if that's what they think is good and they want to do, like, I don't particularly care how fast people get moved up the card. I mean, they did it with Unagi, where she, like, ran up the card. So it's not, I'm not all surprised in that way. It just is a thing where It's the same thing I've always talked about. It's like there's now a logjam of people who are very similar. Himika, Micah, and Mirai. They can't all get pushed at the same time. They're all fairly similar. And, you know, people saying, oh, Himika, Micah, that's a slow, it's a slow burn. They're not really doing anything with them. Like, Himika had a title shot. She lost again. She's lost all of her title, you know, singles title chances. So it doesn't to me feel like, oh, there's a slow burn going on with them. It just feels like, oh, there's nothing to do with them. And then once every 6 months, you can be like, oh, they're the title. They're going to have a title match. They're going to lose. And I think a lot about Dragon Gate had a Corican Hall show this week that I watched. And there's a lot of similarities to me with Dragon Gate and Stardom, the way they're set up with sort of these factions. They have a number of titles that they can use. And I was just so struck by the fact that the main event of this Corican Hall show, a hot main event, ended with this sort of decision of Jason Lee. Didn't have anything to do with any titles. Was totally not related to titles, but it was a hot angle that really helped Jason Lee, even though again, it doesn't have anything to do with he's challenging for titles, he's fighting. It had to do with the storyline that got people invested. And that's something I wish they would do more. When they do it, they seemingly do a great job. They did a great job with Starlight Kid with the storyline of her turning. That was hugely helpful for her. But it feels like they're like, oh, okay, we'll do it like once every 4 months. We'll do it with one person at a time.
Yeah, no, they don't have like the storytelling bandwidth for more than one story at a time. It's very weird.
And they're running so many shows now. I mean, it's Golden Week, so it's a little bit different. But when we talk about the number of shows that Stardom has coming up in the next 2 weeks, it's crazy. And there's so much room for you to do so many things with some of these people beyond just saying, okay, once in a blue moon, you draw with the champion and you get a title shot, you know? So, we'll see what Mirai's wish ends up being. I think that may determine, you know, it's one of those things that like, why wouldn't you challenge Shuri? It's the same problem of like the New Japan Cup. Like you win the New Japan Cup, you can challenge for any title. Why would you not challenge for the heavyweight title?
Yeah.
Like right now, the World of Stardom title is the biggest title in this company.
Yeah, the only thing is because you're basically just admitting, oh, I can't win that, so I need to try for the second tier.
Right, but we will see. But, you know, in some aspects of this sort of discussion, I do agree with some people, but I don't think it's quite the, like some people are like, oh, I can't believe it, oh, that they could do this. I totally believe that they would do this based on what they've done in the past, but it just doesn't seem to be that same like, they finally arrived moment that a lot of these other people have had through the Cinderella tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
The main event was for the World of Stardom title, Shuri the champion defeating Himika in 21 minutes and 24 seconds with the Syu Sakai. Kelly, I'm interested to hear what you thought about this match.
I really like this. I think it was probably my favorite like singles performance I've seen from Himika in her time with the company, unless I'm forgetting something. it was, I don't really have much to say about it because it was kind of your standard house show or house style Stardom main event, which is good. Like, I think they did a good version of that. But, like, I don't know. I don't have many thoughts just because it's like, all right, it's the throw bombs, do the strike exchange, throw more bombs, 1, 2, 3. So I went 4.25 on it. Again, thought it was good, but not super remarkable, I guess.
I thought it was mostly fine. I went to close the show 3.5 stars. I think it was badly hurt by the fact that I thought that Himika had absolutely no chance of winning.
Oh, yeah.
I do agree. I thought aspects of it were very good. I thought Himika looked very good, but it was just something that didn't connect with me really all that much. I don't really have much beyond that to say. I thought it was a perfectly serviceable, fine match in that sort of, as you mentioned, the style that they've established for these big main event title matches. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem with these, with the kind of just having the house style like this, where it's just like, well, they kind of all blend together at a point, and regardless of how good they are, because again, I thought the match was pretty solid. I went, again, 4.25 on it, but it's just like, you can only do the same thing so many times before people are just like, I'm kind of bored by this.
So that is everything from Stardom's Cinderella Tournament 2022 Finals. Before we move on to talking about what else happened over the last 2 weeks in Joshi, Kelly has a message from this week's sponsor.
Whoa, buddy, I gotta tell all you guys about HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. You can get fresh, farm-fresh seasonal produce and easy-to-make recipes delivered right to your door every week. HelloFresh has fit and wholesome recipes for satisfying and nutritious meals that you can feel good about, with 6 recipes per week to choose from, including low-calorie and carb-conscious options. I'll tell you this for free. HelloFresh makes cooking fast, easy, and healthy. Now you can go to HelloFresh.com/VOW16 and use code VOW16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. Let me say that again. Go to HelloFresh.com/VOW16 and use code VOW16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
So what else happened over the last 2 weeks in Joshi? There was a few more Stardom notes. On April 23rd, there was an artist title match between Donna Del Mundo and the Cosmic Angels that went, you guessed it, to a 30-minute time limit draw. That's all I'll say about that. also, Konami is returning to Stardom, joining with God's Eye. I know that there was chatter online when there was going to be a fourth member that it could possibly be Konami, and it is Konami, and I'm happy to see Konami back. I am a Konami fan, so, and you know, when she left, it was not clear when she would return, so I'm happy to see her back.
Yeah, for sure, and she fits in with kind of the style of the group, for sure.
Seedling had a Korakuen Hall show on April 29th. The top 3 matches were Riko Kaiju against Riko Kawahata, Arisa Nakajima versus Tsukasa Fujimoto, and the main event, the tag titles, Asuka and Makoto retaining the titles over Yoshiko and Ryo Mizunami. Kelly, I know that you watched this show. What were your thoughts on it?
I thought it was a great show overall. The Riko Kaiju and Riko Kawahata match was really kind of just a hard-hitting war of attrition, where it was just, by the end of it, they both looked totally exhausted. It felt like a huge win for Riko Kaiju. I went 3.5 on that one. Fujimoto versus Nakajima was awesome. Like, it's kind of startling to see a match like with this level of violence as kind of just like, oh, it's just you know, a match between friends. Just two best friends just going out and having a sporting contest, and then they just beat the ever-loving shit out of each other. Just the second half is so brutal. I loved it. I went 4.5 stars on it. And then the main event was very good too. Just really solid tag title defense. I liked how even though Asuka and Makoto cheat along the way to get their win, it still felt earned because of the level of fight that Yoshiko and Mizunami put up. I went 4 stars on that one. And then in the undercard match, there was the high-speed four-way, which was pretty much just a going-away match for Sakushi, and it was very sweet and just a really nice moment. And you could tell all these people really kind of cared about her, and just it was a really cool moment. So if you enjoy Sakushi as a wrestler, I definitely recommend checking that one out.
Yeah, I thought the top three were all really strong. I loved the main event. So thought it was well. If you've only got a little bit of time, I would say the top three are all well worth your time. A very good show for Seedling. Tokyo Joshi had a number of shows as they get ready for their next Korakuen Hall show, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. On April 24th, the Magical Sugar Rabbits lost in the main event after Free Wi-Fi, Kelly's favorite tag team, removed a turnbuckle pad and did a little bit nefariously. They did that on the 24th. They did it on the 30th as well. So maybe some intrigue there with what's going on with Free Wi-Fi on the 30th, April 30th. Hyper Masao pinned Shoko Nakajima in the main event leading up to their title match at the Korakuen Hall show. So we'll be interesting to see if Hyper Masao can use that success and win the title. Ice Ribbon had a number of shows. The 23rd, the 24th, they had a Korakuen Hall show on the 30th, where we saw the match again. Arisa Nakajima, this time defeating Tsukasa Fujimoto for the Seedling title, successfully defending her title. That was a rematch of the match that happened at the Seedling show. So if you like that match, check out the Ice Ribbon very quick rematch.
Yeah.
Diana had a Korakuen Hall show on April 29th. Ayako Sato defeated Nagisa Nosaki to win the Diana title. Jaguar Yokota won the Elizabeth title. And also Luminous and the Cosmic Angels went to a double countout in 20 minutes and 25 seconds. I did manage to catch that match before we started recording. I thought it was a very good match. Thought there were some really fun exchanges. There was a really great strike exchange between Unagi and Miyuki Takase. The end of the match was a bit strange. It went to a double countout, but all four ended up outside the ring. They were sort of fighting. The ref starts counting 1, 2, 3, 4. He gets to 11 and stops counting. And I was thinking, okay, maybe he was counting too fast. Maybe they're supposed to get back in the ring. And he realized if he kept counting at the speed he's counting, they're going to get counted out. It was sort of weird. He then went out of the ring. He checked on people. He got back in the ring and started counting again, starting at 12. 12, 13, 14, 15. He gets to 19 and stops again. And I was like, okay, what's happening? At that point, the legal wrestlers in the match were Mina and Haruka Umasaki. And sort of Unagi and Takase were trying to sort of lift them into, you know, from the ground into the ring, realized they couldn't do it, and then just started fighting each other again, at which point the referee then said 20 and they were both counted out. But it was just sort of a strange, the counting was off. I sort of got what they were going for, but it seemed a bit weird. But one to check out, I thought a lot of the match before the finish was very strong. Cosmic Angels team acquitted themselves very well outside of Stardom. So definitely check that one out. Marvelous had a Korakuen Hall show on May 1st, just a few hours ago. Takumi Aroha retained her AAAW title over Yu, and Itsuki Aoki and Rin Katakura, the tag team of Aoki and Katakura, defeated Kairi Ito and Tomoko Watanabe to win the AAAW tag team tournament and win the AAAW tag team titles. So they are officially the tag champions. Wave had a couple of shows. And Kelly, what has been happening in the world of Choco Pro?
All right. Choco Pro has been running a bunch of shows. Choco Pro 220, the main event was Mei Tsuruga defeating Yuko Sakurai. This match, I feel, is actually a good companion piece to the Izumi match, purely because like it's mostly submission based. So it kind of shows that Mei is well rounded in that she's got a pretty good ground game as well as, you know, the high speed stuff. It's 3.5 stars, so it's not like amazing, but it's definitely worth checking out if you're a new fan of Mei Tsuruga. Choco Pro 221, the main event, had Best Bros, Mei and Balianaki defeating Chie Koshikawa and Sayaka Obuhiro. Choco Pro 222, the main event, was Sayaka Obuhiro's 12th anniversary match, which saw Balianaki defeating her. Really good match, mostly submission and strike-based. It really kind of shows off the good variety you get from Choco Pro. I went 3.75 stars on that one. Choco Pro 223, Masahiro Takanashi and Chris Brooks defeat Sayaka and Chie Koshikawa in the main event. Really fun match, just riddled with nonsense and interference. At one point, Mei was tossed out a window when she was the referee, so they got a new referee who was the Rossi Ogawa Memorial Award winner for coolest boobs, Hoshitango. He was then trying to count the fall, and Mei jumped in and stopped him because she is the real referee. So you had two refs fighting it out. Wild scene. It was fun, though. And then Choco Pro 224, the main event, saw Balianaki defeat Tokiko Kirihara.
Great. There was also, before we move on to the shows, there was also the first sort of official prominent show that happened in the last 2 weeks. Kelly, I know you watched. I watched it. I enjoyed the show. Kelly, I know you watched it and enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, no, that was a really good show. Excuse me now as I go look at my match ratings for that one, because I do not recall. The main event, the tag match, the Fans Bring the Weapon tag, Suzu Suzuki and Jun Kasai versus Akane Fujita and Violento Jack, was really good. Suzu and Fujita worked really hard. Like, they definitely went out there to have a great match. And Kasai and Jack held up their end, too, but they kind of just, for the most part, let the women do their thing. I went 4.25 on that one. Definitely worth checking out.
And then I also managed to watch the Corican Hall 60th anniversary Joshi show, which I thought was very good. The main event, an excellent main event with the Sekigun members teaming with Starlight Kid. That one is worth checking out. Not a ton else on the show that's must watch, but a super fun, super quick watch. So if you have time and you're interested in sort of seeing that type of show with a lot of different promotions mixing with each other, I recommend checking that one out. All right, so here we go. The upcoming shows. There's a lot of shows upcoming. So starting with Stardom, Stardom has sort of house shows on May 3rd, May 4th, May 7th, May 8th. They also have on May 5th a big show headlined by Saya Kamatani versus Micah for the Wonder of Stardom title. Starlight Kid and Momo Watanabe will defend their tag titles against former champions Hazuki and Koguma, and Tekla will defend the SWA title against Mayu Iwatani. On May 13th is New Blood 2. It will feature Hina and Hanan teaming to take on Tomika, Anaba, and Aoi. Yuna Mizumori going up against Lady C. Saya Ida and Momo Kogo going up against Rina Amakura and Yuko Sakurai. Amy Sore and Mirai versus Waka Sukiyama and Momoka Hanazona. Take a guess who's taking the fall on that one. The semi-main is Suzu Suzuki going up against Mei Sakurai. Not sure I could think of a sort of less exciting Suzu Suzuki singles match in Stardom. But the main event will be Mina Shirakawa, Unagi Sayaka, and recently X revealed as Haruka Umasaki after the time limit draw at Diana. Umasaki was asked to join New Blood 2, so it will be the three of them going up against Ruwaka, Rina, and Starlight Kid. Kelly, are you looking forward to New Blood 2?
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed the first one. I think right now my most anticipated match is probably Yuna versus Lady C.
Yeah, that one could be a sneaky good. It could be a sneaky good match.
I also appreciate Yuna just looking completely insane at the press conference, just decked out in her insane fruit clothing and stuff.
Yeah, bringing an interesting energy.
Yeah.
And then they have a Corican Hall show on May 15th. The only match announced for that so far is the five-way match that will determine the leader of Queen's Quest. So that the one match that has been announced for that show so far. Seedling has three shows coming up. Two of them are on the same day, on May 2nd. The Best Friends Produce two-part event. So part one will feature Rina Yamashita and Best Friends going up against Asuka, Makoto, and Maya Yukihi. Also will feature Tsukushi and Yuri going up against Miyuki Takase and Haruka Umasaki, with everyone wearing the costumes of Arisa Nakajima and Tsukasa Fujimoto. Ibuki Hoshi versus Momoka Hanazono in a singles match, and the main event of that show, The Best Friends, going up against Yoshiko and Hiroyo Matsumoto. That is the afternoon show. The evening Best Friends Produce show will see Hanako Nakamori go up against Hamako Hoshi, Miyuki Takase go up against Just Tap Out's Misa Kagura. The Best Friends and Tsukushi will team up to take on Riko Kawahata, Ayame Sasamura, and Haruka Umasaki. And the main event will be the Best Friends teaming together to take on Riko Kaiju and Yuki Mashiro. And then they also have a show on May 13th, which will see Arisa Nakajima defend her Beyond the Sea title against Riko Kaiju. Kelly, three pretty fun-looking shows.
Yeah, the Best Friends Produce shows look really fun. I definitely want to check those out.
Oz has a show coming up on May 8th. That one will be headlined by the semi-main will be Akino against Yumi Oka against you. The winner of that match will be the first of two challengers for the three-way title. The next one will be determined on their show on June 19th, and then the match will be in July. And then the main event will see Hiroyo Matsumoto, Rina Yamashita, and X against the Ozaki-gun team of Mayumi Ozaki, Maya Yukihi, and Sayori Ono. Tokyo Joshi, as we mentioned earlier, has a big Korakuen Hall show coming up. The first match on it will be a three-minute exhibition match. Reika Saiki, who will be retiring from in-ring work, will be retiring from wrestling, will go up against Arisa Endo. Yuki Kamifuku and Mihiro Kiryu will go up against Haruna Neko and Kaya Torabami. Suzume will go up against Juria Nagano. That should be a good one.
Yeah.
Rika Tatsumi, Miyu Watanabe, and Yuki Arai will go up against Yuki Aono, Raku, and Palm Harajuku. Miyu Yamashita and Maki Ito, 1-2-1 million, will go up against Moka Miyamoto and, from AEW, Hikaru Shida. And the two title matches on the show, the Magical Sugar Rabbits, Yuka Sakazaki and Mizaki, the champions, will defend against Free Wi-Fi, Hikari Noah, and Nao Kakuda. And the main event for the Princess of Princess title Shoko Nakajima, the champion, defending against Hyper Masao. So, Kelly, I'll ask you first, which of these matches are you most excited for?
Man, this card's kind of stacked. I want to say the tag match, the tag title match, because I want to see a free Wi-Fi win, obviously. But the main event could be really good, too, because you got to figure with Nakajima and Hyper Masao, it's not just going to be a straight wrestling match. Like, there's going to be some nonsense. And I love their matches at the first show of the year. So if we can get that kind of energy, that would be good. Do you think Masao wins? Because I think that's a possibility.
I think it's a possibility. I mean, as we talked about last time, I don't really know where the Shoko title reign is going. So I wouldn't really mind if it was like, oh, Hyper Masao won it. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
So I could certainly see. I could certainly see Hyper Masao winning. I certainly don't think it's out of the question. I'm also curious. Well, I sort of wasn't curious, and then I was made curious because the semi-main, the tag title match, I figured, okay, Magical Sugar Rabbits are probably going to win. But now, if you don't know, through some method, Tony Khan / AEW have demanded that Yuka Sakazaki come to AEW on May 4th. It's not clear why. I'm assuming that she might be in a qualifier for the Owen Hart tournament, I guess, but it's something that they seemingly have never done. I don't know how strongly they sort of demanded.
It's very strange.
She will be leaving, I believe, like right after the show. So all of a sudden I'm like, well, if she's leaving, do they change the titles?
I think they might.
They might, especially because there's something coming up in a second, which we'll talk about, which lends more credence to that.
Yeah. What if they do the free Wi-Fi comes out at the beginning of the show and demands this match starts right now?
Well, it's so funny, the Gabe Sapolsky special, because there's something coming up on their next show, which is very Gabe Sapolsky-esque. I think the best match is, look, if Moka Miyamoto can give anything close to sort of the peak that she's shown, I think the 1-to-1 million against Shida and Miyamoto match will be the best match on the show.
Yeah, that could be very good.
It's like sort of all up to Moka. If Moka comes out and like kills it, I think the match is going to be very good. I also think, you know, it's very close to the beginning. I'm sure it won't be that long. Suzume versus Jurya Nagano could be very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Suzume is the right sort of high speed wrestler where even if they've only got 6 minutes, she could go out and, you know, bing, 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 run around, have high energy and deliver something very good.
Yeah. Yeah. This card's really good. I'm super excited for this show.
The following day, they have another show. Tokyo Joshi has another show. Miyu Yamashita and Miyu Watanabe teaming to take on Saki Akai and Yuki Kamifuku. But the main event will be Yuki Arai, Suzume, Moka Miyamoto, and Arisa Endo against Maki Ido. And whoever is the tag champions and the singles champions, essentially, whoever is the princess tag team title holders and the princess of princess tag team title holders. Now, in the notes, it says an alternate will be chosen if Yuka Sakazaki is still champion. That is the Gabe Sapolsky note.
Yeah.
which is like, here's a match announced, but also this title match hasn't happened. So it's like, if still champion. To me, I think that, like, that's the thing that puts the doubt in my mind, where it's like, could free Wi-Fi win? And then, I guess they could.
I think they might. I think they're going to do it.
Although, I don't know if I'm overthinking myself and being like, no, they'll just, like, it'll be, you know, Shoko, Mizuki, and Rika Tatsumi. And they'll just be like, here you go.
I mean, yeah, that seems obvious, but I want the dream to come true. Free Wi-Fi as champions.
It could be my classic Tokyo Joshi overthink, which I'm known for. But anyway, Tokyo Joshi also has a show on May 14th, but nothing yet is announced for that show. Sendai Girls has two shows back to back. The show on May 6th, Yurika Oka versus Cannon, Dash Jizako and Hiroyo Matsumoto against Maria and Ayame Sasamura, Chihiro Hashimoto and Yu going up against Asuka and Sayori Ano. That should be good. And a number one contenders match between Mika Iwata and Miyuki Takase going up against Ryo Mizunami and Manami. They then have the show on May 7th, Yurika Oka against Ayami Sasamura, Manami against Miyuki Takase, Mika Iwata against Yu, Chihiro Hashimoto and Cannon against Ryo Mizunami and Tomoka Inaba. Ice Ribbon has their biggest show of the year coming up, their annual Yokohama Budokan show on May 4th. The card is, starting from the bottom, Cherry, Hiroyo Matsumoto, and Kiku going up against Nao Ishikawa, Rina Amakura, and Misa Kagura. Bani Okawa and Yappy going up against Sumika Yanagawa and Saran. Maya Yukihi, Yuko Sakurai, and Natsumi with Ram Kaichou going up against Tei Hanma, the returning Tei Hanma, Sayori Ano, and Maika Ozaki. The classic Aja Kong rookie singles match, Aja Kong against Kaho Matsuhita. The triangle ribbon match, Yuki Mashiro, Makoto, and Rina Yamashita. That for the triangle ribbon. The tag titles will be the champions, Saki and Hikari Shimizu, defending against Totoro Satsuki and Yuna Manase. The Ice Infinity title will be Sakushi against Asahi, but that will not be the main event. The semi-main event will be the Tsukasa Fujimoto holiday match. Tsukasa Fujimoto and Ibuki Hoshi going up against Arisa Nakajima and Hikaru Shida. And the main event, the Sakushi retirement match, Sakushi and Tsukasa Fujimoto going up against Hamaka Hoshi and Nanai Takahashi. Kelly, I ask you again, this is another tricky one. What match here are you looking most forward to?
I think you got to go to the main event, but the semi-main actually might be the better match with Fujimoto and Hoshi versus Nakajima and Shida. Yeah, so I'm going semi-main. That's my pick. What about you?
Yeah, I think that would be my pick. I think the main will be good. I think the Ice Infinity title match will be good. A really stacked card. I'm interested to see, you know, now that Aja is back and had the knee surgery, to see sort of what that rookie match looks like, because a lot of those rookie matches right before she went on the hiatus were sort of like, I'm going to stand very still in one place and you sort of run around me and then I'll beat you up and win.
Pretty much, like, yeah.
I just wonder if they look different or maybe they're exactly the same, but a great looking card. Ice Ribbon going through a lot of change recently, but I'm happy to see that this is a pretty stacked card. Ice Ribbon also has shows on the 7th and the 14th. Wave will have the opening round of the Catch the Wave tournament, which we talked about last episode. That show, though, will be main evented by a non-tournament match, a tag match. Yuki Miyazaki and Sakura Hirota going up against Miyako Matsumoto and Hikaru Shida appearing in Wave. Pretty exciting. Shida is going to be all over the place.
Yeah.
This week, which is pretty cool. Happy to see. Coming off her loss to Serena Deeb in the Philly street fight. Yes, which I believe was the wrong decision. Anyway, another interesting looking match. Wave also has a show on May 15th. Kelly, do you know anything coming up for Chaco Pro?
I do, but I...
this week.
I got distracted. I'm pretty sure a car just drove past my house blasting the fucking Dink the Clown music. I'm incredibly thrown off right now. Because she's just talking and all of a sudden I hear... Okay.
Well, hopefully they're not coming to your house.
I really hope not. That would be rather upsetting. Okay. May 3rd, we got Chakra Pro 225. That is headlined by Mei Suruga teaming with Antonio Honda to face Yuna Mizumori and Chie Koshikawa. Then on the 4th, we've got Gato Move Returns, the first Gato Move promoted show since the pandemic started. This show will air on the YouTube channel, but it'll be the day after the show happens. I believe it is at Itabashi Green Hall, I think, is the venue.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So the card looks like this. We've got Toru Washi and Hagane Shino versus Antonio Honda and Trans Am Hiroshi versus Dragon Ninja, the team of Siari and Chon Shiru. We've got a singles match of Sayaka taking on Tokiko Kirihara. A trios match with Masahiro Takanashi and Chris Brooks teaming with Shin Suzuki to face Ken Oka, Yuna Mizumori, and Sayaka Obahiro. Your semi-main is a singles match featuring Bali Anaki taking on Hikaru Sato, which that should be good. And then in the main event, you've got Mei Suruga teaming with Haruka Umasaki to take on Chie Koshikawa and Kaori Yonayama. That's a solid card. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm excited to see the return of Gato Move proper.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of. We're getting to the point where it's like, wow, are they going to ever do that? So yeah, it's cool. I'm excited for them to bring a show in front of an audience for the first time since this all started.
Well, that is everything. Everything. Just a few things that are happening over the next 2 weeks of Joshi. I believe I talked with Kelly earlier. We are going to try to watch as much as we can. I think we're going to deep dive into as much as we can from as many promotions as we can from this upcoming 2 weeks as a Golden Week celebration next episode. So we will see it. Much of it, as usual, depends on when things are airing, where they're airing, etc. But in two weeks,
we
look
can't do anything when Ice Ribbon airs in June.
But in 2 weeks, look forward to a Golden Week or post Golden Week celebration from Jumping Bomb Audio. But that is all we have for this episode. Kelly, I have to ask, do you have a movie recommendation?
Buddy, I got two. So the first is The Northman. Cool Viking movie. Definitely worth checking out. And the second is my new number one movie of the year, which I saw last night. That is Everything Everywhere All at Once. I went into this movie knowing virtually nothing, besides it was highly recommended by other people, and it's vaguely kung fu related. That's all you need to know. It'll kind of get you in the right mindset for it. It's awesome. It has a ton of stuff visually I've just never seen before. It's super innovative, inventive movie. Definitely well worth checking out if you can find a theater that's showing it right now.
Yes, that one has been recommended to me by a number of people, so I am a person who has to check that out, and hopefully I will be able to do that in the next week or so.
Yeah, it's really good. It's one of those, I ignored it for a while, because purely just based on the name, I thought it was one of those movies where it's like two sad teenagers who fall in love and their dads hate them movie.
Well, that is everything we have for this episode of Jumping Bomb Audio. So for Kelly, my name is Taylor. We will see you next time. Goodbye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.